mail call.
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
All right, what's your questions for the Killer Bees? Our Mailbag Monday, you can ask us whatever you want. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can hop on the Twitch, ask us there, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter, Amit Jeremy Branham. Not Santa says, who wins in a Hell in a Cell match, Ricky from Gentle Ben's or Chris from Frankie's Italian Kitchen? I'm going to go Ricky because he's taller.
Yeah, but see, Chris is like a wrecking ball. Hard to bring down, and he's got a little thunder he can bring.
Sure.
I don't think.
Match.
I think you should pick Ricky, I should pick Chris, and we should pick to move on.
I just picked Ricky.
And I picked Chris.
It'd be worth the price of admission. I'll say that. 713-780-3776.
Sit down and have a drink about it at Frankie's.
Sounds like a heck of an
idea.
There you go. Sounds like a great idea. 1440. What do y'all think about dipping McNuggets in ketchup?
Ooh, and I am the ketchup aficionado. There's no need for that. I could do it in barbecue sauce from time to time and the honey mustard, but even I, the ketchup aficionado, I don't believe... Now, my kids do it. My kids love dunking their... And I'm so proud of them. It almost brought a tear to my eye that they have that love for a ketchup that I adore, but I don't feel the need to put ketchup on nuggets.
I'm not sure that I've ever put ketchup on McNuggets in my entire life.
I don't
life.
Believe that I have either.
I am a 99.9% barbecue guy. Yep. You have to get the barbecue at the McNuggets. On the rare occurrence, I'll be honest with you, on the rare occurrence that they don't have barbecue sauce, I'll say scratch the order, I don't want McNuggets. Like, the barbecue is a prerequisite for the McNuggets. On a rare occurrence, like if somebody else got them, there's no barbecue sauce, I'll dip it into the ranch. But that's the only other answer. It's barbecue sauce, 99. I don't like the honey mustard.
I'm a big fan of honey mustard, salad-wise and otherwise. So
on salad, too?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, not
absolutely.
For me. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Killer Bees, our Mailbag Monday? This is a tough one here. Mm. Josh in Beaumont actually texted us this one, I think, 2 weeks ago and just didn't have a chance to get to it. But I've been wanting to ask you this ever since that you said that you want James Harden in Houston next year.
You better stop putting that hate in
my mouth.
You said
you'd rather have James Harden than Rafael Stone with the Rockets next
year.
Right,
that was a hypothetical question. That wasn't a general statement of, I just want James Harden back with the Rockets.
No, you said you'd rather have Harden than Rafael Stone.
Right, I'd rather have a freaking cold bowl of soup and a kick in the grapes than I would want Rafael Stone.
But Harden or Stone?
Harden.
There you go. Josh in Beaumont.
Harden's going to make you choose, too, by the way.
Well, then if that's the scenario, which scenario do you want to play out? You've already given that answer.
Pass.
You've already given the answer.
Can I punt?
Here's another one. No, you can't. The Killer Bees make you answer the tough questions. Josh in Beaumont, would you rather the Rockets make Chris Beard the next coach or bring the Beard back to town?
I don't think Chris Beard is ready for the NBA.
He's ready for the NBA. I'm not sure he's ready for a normal relationship with a lady.
I don't think he's ready for the NBA. I think it's the same way we would look at NFL coaches and say, look, good college coaches don't necessarily translate to being good NFL coaches. I think the same is, and Calipari learned this in the hardest way possible, but I think different guys do it different ways. Quinn Snyder was a success story for the most part, but he still had kind of that grace period where he had to understand, all these guys in the locker room are making more than me. They carry more clout than me. And I can't yell at them and treat them the way I did in college if I want to make sure that there's a saving grace for me. And I think that Chris Beard, especially with the fact that in a real professional locker room, that's not going to be buried under the rug. That's going to be something that could be addressed at any time and any moment in terms of his checkered past off the floor.
Yeah.
So I don't think Chris Beard's ready for the NBA, but I will echo the fact that I don't want James Harden in a Rockets uniform. So for me, if I could push, I'd like to push.
That's not echoing it. You said you want Harden back instead of Rafael
Stone.
Shut
your mouth.
Would you rather have Chris Beard or James Harden?
Chris Beard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know if I can do radio with you. You're an advocate
for young
players, domestic abuse. You're advocating domestic abuse.
I'm not.
I would take James Harden. I want Chris Beard nowhere around the Rockets head coaching position.
Okay.
Give me Harden back to and let us compete for that 10th spot in a play-in game in the NBA playoffs. 713-780-ESPN. I don't know. Quinn Snyder.
Well, then I'd be okay.
Quinn Snyder. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 0170. Any predictions for this weekend's 24 hours of Daytona? Dale Earnhardt Jr. still race?
The race will go on.
I bet you they make a lot of left-hand turns.
And the race will be concluded.
Yeah, and I'm going to just say...
It's a prediction.
I'm going to say someone's going to win it.
Somebody will win it.
I like it, too.
Does Dale Earnhardt Jr. still race?
I think he retired.
Did he retire?
I'm still amazed that they're racing in the Coliseum in L.A.
Are they?
With Caleb Williams, I believe, starting the race.
Oh, I did see that.
Like, that is such a small track.
Yeah.
And dangerous.
You would think, but
drivers and fans and everything else. It just seems to be like a...
You can put a track anywhere, though. You see what F1 does? Like, F1 puts tracks in cities. Like, yeah, they're going to Vegas.
Turn more than one
direction. Used to do it here.
It's true.
I saw the races here.
I don't think it was an F1. I don't think F1 came to Houston. I think it was like a different...
It was a Grand Prix.
Different league.
Whatever.
I think it was... Maybe it was an F1. I'm not sure. I remember them coming to Houston. I want to say it wasn't F1, but I could be wrong. I didn't follow F1.
I think it might have been Indy League or something.
That's
like
what
that.
I thought.
It was pretty awesome to watch it.
I haven't watched... I didn't start paying attention to F1 until Drive to Survive came out on Netflix, and now I'm all for it. I want to go to the one in Vegas. The one in Vegas looks awesome. 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Killer Bees? BQ, if Texans get DeMeco and the Texans go all defense the first five picks, would you be upset?
No, because... They're obviously showing you that they believe in their head coach and they don't believe in the quarterbacks that are available, and they're going to embrace the suck for another year but be better on defense.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that part. I think that it's actually easier to win games next year by going that route than going rookie quarterback.
Which puts you in a really tough, precarious position if you want Caleb Williams.
I think it hurts your chances of future growth.
And because we've already identified how important the quarterback position is. And if you're passing on your best chance to get one and then going all defense, hoping that you are in a position to get another one, but yet loading up on defense gives you a better chance to win more and then lower the chances to get one.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a tough call.
Yeah, I don't like that because I think that locks you. I think to Jeremy's point, I think that locks you into probably six wins.
Yeah,
if you build a great defense, you're probably going to win five, six games, and then you're not getting the quarterback of your choice.
Because the first five picks are 2, 12, 33, 65, 73. Like, you're getting at least three starters.
Yeah.
You're getting at least three starters.
We already agree that we like Petrie and Stingley and Christian Harris. So there's some foundations. You add those guys to it, you're probably going to win six games, and then you're not getting the quarterback you want.
I would agree. I think you win six games. Now, I do think there's a path to get quarterback. I think that you can still get quarterback in next year's draft, even if you win six games.
But maybe not.
Exactly.
You got to trade up.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, if you're trading up to number one or two because of the Caleb Williams and Drake May, if you win six games, it's still going to be probably around the top 10.
So yeah, maybe nine.
And who knows
10.
What Cleveland does? Yeah. Maybe Cleveland finishes this year, like where they finished last year. So maybe you're looking at 10 and 13, and all of a sudden you package 10 and 13 to trade up to number one to get Caleb Williams. I think it's feasible. And you have draft picks in the future.
Let's also think about who would be competitive to be worse than you to get the number one pick, the Bears.
Yeah, but they also have the first pick, right. So you think there's growth there.
Right.
Falcons.
And just another year of Justin Fields. I think the Falcons have too much talent.
It's hard to say right now because, I mean, we have the draft and we have free agency. Like, teams are going to look a lot different in six months.
Indy, if you're still in a position where you can compete in those first four positions, I think you're fine. Because I think you'll get one of the two guys you want.
By trading up.
You might have to.
Yeah.
But also, just by the way it all falls, schedule and everything like that, with the way it falls, you might still end up with one of the top two picks.
To answer the question, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. If you want to go all out and fix the defensive side of the ball and then you get creative to figure out the quarterback position later, I don't think that that's a terrible idea.
But you have two big questions. Who plays quarterback next year?
You're going to have to get free agent.
And then from an offensive coordinator position, the only thing is at least you get a trial run to see what the guy can do.
You either have to get free agent or you have to get a young quarterback that a team's giving
up on. Bring Derek Carr home, man. Bring Derek Carr home.
No, thanks.
I'm
not
out
at that salary.
David Carr's brother.
Nope.
I'm out on David Carr's brothers. 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday. Jesse says, who will win a championship first, Rockets or Texans? Let's assume the top championship.
Rockets.
Not a division championship.
Rockets.
I think the Rockets have better ownership. I think Tillman's won in every avenue of life. He's a self-made millionaire, billionaire, whereas Kyle McNair inherited it. So I think that whenever you look, I think you have to have great ownership to win championships.
You have more foundational pieces on the roster with the Rockets than you do the Texans.
I don't know if I would agree with that. I think that there's a higher percentage of what you need. Because what are the foundational pieces for the Rockets?
Şengün, Green still looks like he should be.
Okay.
And Smith.
Okay, so there's three guys there. Jalen Petrie, Derek Stingley, Christian Harris, maybe Damian Pierce, maybe John Metchie.
Oh, but Laramie Tunsil,
Titus Howard,
Tari Eason,
Kenyon Green.
But even if it's just three of 10 conversations, this is probably
that's my point. Like the ratio, I agree with you. Like the volume, I would think it was the Texans. Now the Rockets have the greater percentage, but in terms of like the total count, it's probably Texans. But the Texans have a 53-man roster.
Right. I was going to say with 12. The size of the roster, right. The Texans are more down the road in there than the Texans are.
Rockets. Both teams have to hit on their next coaching hire. They have to hit their
next draft pick.
And they have to hit on the draft pick as well. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line. What's your question for the Killer Bees? Would you rather Emi Udoka or the beard back in the H?
I'm Emi Udoka.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's a no-brainer. I don't want Harden in Houston.
Like, and it's easier to say I'm Emi Udoka can work on his wrongdoings and he's a really good basketball coach, and he's a good NBA basketball coach,
yeah.
As opposed to all the things Chris Beard's got to get over. And I still don't want James Harden in Houston. But I don't want Rafael Stone in Houston so much that I'll be willing to make the one exception.
Clappus says, does Ranch go on pizza?
No.
I think Ranch goes on pizza like a fish goes to water. Ranch on pizza is outstanding.
No. Ranch and pineapple.
What is wrong with you guys? Pineapple? Why are you putting pineapple on a pizza?
Right, because a lot of people do, and they fight hard for it, and I don't like it.
Okay, now you just listed like both awful combinations. Like, yeah, a ranch shouldn't go on pineapple, but you give me pepperoni pizza.
Ranch on pizza or pineapple on pizza. Neither one belongs on pizza.
Saying ranch on pizza is as offensive as pineapple on pizza.
Yeah, gotcha. I love ranch on pizza. It's outstanding.
You just love ranch.
I do like ranch, yeah. E says ranch or blue cheese with wings. This is where I go blue cheese.
Do you really?
Absolutely. If you're a wing traditionalist and you really like wings for what they're for, you have to go blue cheese. There's no doubt about it.
Why would you have to go blue
cheese?
Blue
cheese is better on wings. If you get flavored wings, you shouldn't eat either one.
Get out of here. Wings belong in a dip. It's like saying that chips and salsa don't need salsa. Like, absolutely.
It's a matter of opinion.
That's a terrible take, Jeremy.
What's a terrible take?
That you can't eat wings without something to dip it in? If it's dipped in a flavored sauce,
why do you need it?
Wings absolutely have to have a dip. 1970, mid-thigh shorts or to the knee?
To the knee.
To the knee.
I think mid-thigh.
Depends on what you're working with.
Okay, Rod
Stewart. I think you got to be honest with yourself.
I think mid-thigh is a better look these days. Now, I would say that most of my shorts are more to the knee than mid-thigh. But
and we would thank you for that.
Mid-thigh is absolutely in style now.
Oh, it's in style. It doesn't make it right, Johnny Stockton.
Absolutely in style. 5535, do you think D'Amico will bring Jimmy Garoppolo to Houston?
No. And I hope he doesn't. And if he even hints at that, we don't need to talk to D'Amico anymore.
I mean, if you go five defensive players in your first five draft picks, I think it's on the table.
As long as the contract looks right, but I mean, depends on what sort of deal Jimmy G would take.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. If I go five defensive players in my first five draft picks, I'm trying to figure out a way to trade for Jordan Love.
You can have
Trey Lance
for a bag of chips.
I can have Jordan Love for a bag of chips.
Yeah,
done. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Well,
even if he's your backup quarterback.
Once you see him play, I think you may change, but at least you didn't have to give up much to get him.
I saw him throw the ball five times this year in a regular season game.
Okay.
Yeah, I put more stock in that
than
preseason.
And you heard NBC guys like gush over him over throws that weren't all that special.
Would you? Here's a question that I have for a Killer Bee. Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love as your starting quarterback next year?
Aaron Rodgers, without a doubt.
Okay. All right. That's it for Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. Or just tweet whatever questions you have to Pac-Man Joe.
There we go.
Joel, and we'll put you in the queue. All right, I'm telling you right now that Bryce Young goes number one, however it happens, and Will Levis goes number two, however it happens. What are you trading to get number one? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I'm old enough to remember when Ezekiel Elliott lined up as a center.
Did you see him just get pancaked too?
Of course
on that
I did.
Play? Wow.
Of course I did. I want to know what that play looked like when they were drawing it up. Like, in defense of Mike McCarthy a little bit here, and obviously it didn't work out, I don't think you're expecting San Francisco to attack the target. Who did he throw it to? Was it Gallup? Or was I think
someone
I
got absolutely the receiver. Crushed before they could do
right.
anything.
That's the thing. Is like if you're Mike McCarthy and you think that this is a play where you need 60, like 70 yards to have a miracle touchdown, you think that San Francisco is going to play all their dudes way back and they're not going to attack the receiver as soon as he catches the ball. Like that was pretty smart of D'Amico Ryans. It's why he should be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. But it really was a smart thing to attack the ball as soon as the ball was caught. You don't see that a whole lot in those situations. I think the receiver was going to toss it back to Dak because you saw Dak kind of like leak up the middle of the field. And my guess is that Zeke was going to go on some like big giant wheel route away from traffic.
I tell you the other thing that people forget about in the whole scenario is D'Amico called the timeout once he saw the formation so that he could better prepare his defense for
it.
I think that was cagey.
Yeah,
because Shanahan at that point doesn't care about the timeouts though. But I'm just saying they called timeout so that D'Amico could better prepare his defense. Yeah. I think that was a really, really smart move.
It was smart, yeah. It was kind of bad by Dalton Schultz not to get out of bounds on that one play. I also felt with 5 seconds left, I think there was enough time to run almost that exact same play again and get out of bounds with like 1 second and then have a chance for a 60-yard Hail Mary.
Yeah, pretty careless he didn't get 2 feet in first and foremost. But, yeah, secondly, I think you're right. And I think the Cowboys let a lot of time get away, too. Not that they had a great chance, but I still think that they were careless with time management, which has been a staple of Mike McCarthy, and it's not a good look, especially in a game of that magnitude.
All right, I want to ask you the question, 713-780-ESPN. If I tell you, 713-780-3776, I'm telling you right now that no matter what, Bryce Young goes number one, and Will Levis goes number two. As a fan of the Houston Texans, what are you giving up to move up to number one? 713-780-3776.
Man, look, they're so bad across the board. I hate the thought and the of just giving up any draft capital. But, you know, I'm going to leave it to the experts first to tell me how big of a gap there
Our
is
listeners?
Between... No, between...
The Hive?
No, I mean, like, I heard Lance. Lance, by the way, that whole live review of Bryce Young, 2.5 hours, that film session.
What, did they watch the whole 2022 season?
I evidently every snap. I mean... He said, and if you need it, just DM me and I can get it to you. I'm like, 2.5 hours?
Is it on? It's on YouTube, right?
I don't know, but he said he would send it to whoever wanted it. But
who did he say this
I'm
to?
Waiting on
did
the
I
bench
miss the
this
email?
Morning. He said it on the bench this morning.
Oh.
I really believe that I need to hear from a lot of the draft prognosticators just how big of a gap, if any, there is between the two guys. But if I'm the Texans, I mean, if I have to and I'm dead set, like I said, first and foremost, I want them to identify who their guy is and go get him. And if it's Bryce Young and that's who they really, really want, then go get him and figure out what it's going to take to move up one spot. And if it means moving up one spot costs you, I don't know, the first pick of the Sean Payton type capital?
12?
No. I'm talking about first pick of the second round this year or the second pick of the second round this year.
That wasn't Sean Payton capital.
I mean, in my mind, it was.
Well, I mean, that's why you weren't trading for Sean Payton.
Right.
Because Sean Payton was going to cost anyway. You a first. Like, you're just making the rules
I'm not
here.
Giving up 12 for anybody this year. I'm just not. But if I can give up,
so you would,
like, the Cleveland first rounder next year, I would entertain that.
Because, look, like, under this practice, Bryce Young goes one, Will Levis goes two. How much are you trading up to number one if Bryce Young is your guy? 713-780-ESPN.
Wait, Greg Rosenthal on last week surprisingly said he still has C.J. Stroud as his number one quarterback.
Yeah, I would disagree with that. But some people do.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do. All
Remember,
three of these guys
of the
are
year,
in play.
Most of the year, a lot of people were thinking it was him, and then when they saw him play more or not do enough, that's when it started to change again.
I don't think so with Stroud. I think that Stroud's peak was after the Georgia game in terms of a draft.
No, I think it went back up. I think before the season started.
I don't remember.
Go back
that.
And look. Before the season started, he was the number one quarterback on a lot of people's boards.
I don't know if he was more than Bryce Young.
Go back and look.
All right.
At the start of the season,
I'll go back and look.
There were a lot of people putting C.J. Stroud as their number one quarterback. And I remember then Lance going, yeah, I don't know. Because, you know, I had said all along, look, I think with Harrison and the receivers that he has and all those other things, I was never a big C.J. Stroud guy anyway.
I saw a...
But it surprised me early when the season started to hear that.
I saw a screenshot this morning of Ohio State receivers last year, and it was Marvin Harrison Jr., Jackson Smith and Jigba, Chris Olave, and who am I missing here?
Well, Olave was 2 years ago, right?
No, he was last year, and Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, Olave was
a rookie. He's a rookie. Yeah. He's a rookie. That was last year.
Oh, last year.
Yeah, last year. So you had all four of those receivers. Like, not saying that I would throw for 4,000 yards with those guys,
I'm not either.
I might throw for 4,000 yards with those guys. I'm just kidding. 4958 says nothing, taking Stroud. That is not part of the practice. You know Bryce Young is going one. You know Will Levis is going two. How much are you trading up for number one? 7137. I want to ask Stutes this. 7137-80-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 7137-80-3776. With your thought, you said that you want the Texans to identify a guy. Let's add to this and say the Texans have identified Bryce Young as their guy. And under this practice, he's going one. Levis, maybe you don't love him. He's going number two. At what cost are you trading up to get your guy?
I would entertain the Cleveland first rounder next year because you're getting rid of Deshaun, who was your quarterback, to get your next franchise quarterback. And so then I believe that it's worth it.
I don't hate that logic. Like, it's part of the Cleveland Brown package that you traded away a franchise quarterback for, use one-third of the draft picks that you got for Deshaun Watson to use it to trade for your future franchise quarterback. 713-780-3776. Dusty in Mount Bellevue says, I wouldn't trade anything more than a third and a fifth to move up one spot in this draft for number one. This ain't Luck, Newton, or Lawrence we're talking about getting. It's interesting he used Newton and Lawrence in that conversation instead of like Elway and Burrow. Manning and Burrow. I understand the point. I don't know if I love the examples that you gave, Dusty, in Mount Bellevue. Crankshaft in League City, nothing. I'm sticking at number two. For the record, I'm not trading up for it. I think Levis has just as good a chance as Bryce Young of being successful in the NFL. So, no, I'm not trading up to number one for Bryce Young when I can get
like
Levis
I said,
to two.
Identify the guy you really, really want and can't live without. But if you're not willing to trade up, then do all your deep dive into making sure you know the difference between Stroud and Levis and you feel comfortable knowing that you know who the better of the two is, and then take that guy.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jeff, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing? I wouldn't trade 1 or 12 for either Sean Payton or Bryce Young.
Why not?
What pick was Michael Parsons for the Cowboys when he came out?
Well, he was number 12. Yeah, he was number 12.
Thank you.
All right.
Is Michael Parsons the quarterback?
Thank you. My quarterback in this draft is not going to make a difference in my record.
I appreciate
it. How many draft choices do I have next year?
Try again.
Two. You have two.
I'm going to make my team better, my offensive line, and my defensive line, so they can play. So when I get a quarterback, he can play.
All right. Appreciate the call, Jeff. Look, I'm not trading up to number one either. Great point about Micah Parsons being number 12. Like, I agree. I posted the last 5 years of the number 12 pick whenever there was rumors of the Texans trading for Sean Payton. I don't want to do that. I wouldn't trade for Sean Payton, obviously. I wouldn't trade up from 2 to 1 using number 12 or even Cleveland's first rounder in 2024. Wouldn't do it. The point that you make about the offensive line, though, I disagree with. I think that the Texans' offensive line is more than capable of protecting a franchise quarterback or a young quarterback. I think their offensive line's just fine. Do I think it's met its ceiling? Do I think it's playing up to its potential? I think you can go case by case. Laramie Tunsil, I think, played close to his peak. Kenyon Green, absolutely not. We saw flashes.
The opposite, maybe.
Titus Howard, I thought he played really well. Maybe not his peak, but really well. And then you do need upgrades at center and right guard, but you don't necessarily have to do that in the draft,
right.
And you definitely don't need to do it in the first round.
I mean, Max Sharping is starting games, meaningful games with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
You can find guys off the street, free agents more so, that you can plug and play that are better than what you have that can still solidify your offensive line. So absolutely can they upgrade the offensive line? Yes, and there's a variety and a multitude of ways they can do that. But, you know, overall I look at this team and like I said, I want them to get it right at quarterback. But unlike the scenario of like the five guys all on defense, I don't believe that you should be looking at like this many offensive guys and this many defensive guys. You just should be looking at the best available guy at every position, at every pick, and then prioritize that with the fact that the quarterback's the most important position on the field. So if you truly have your druthers on a quarterback, go get him.
At the expense of Cleveland's first.
Yeah, if I have to.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. Yeah, I think it's a good reason. If I'm telling you right now that Bryce goes one, Levis goes two, how much are you trading up to get number one if you are at all? 713-780-3776. Also, are you hiring the coach if you're the Texans that says he wants to coach the player you wanted to, or are you giving that pick to entice that head coach. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You know that Bryce Young goes one. You know that Will Levis goes two. How much would you trade up to number one to get Bryce and maybe even avoid Will Levis? We asked Lance, getting some water at the water cooler. We were talking to him. He said he would give up Cleveland's 2024 first-round pick. Asked Stutes, he said maybe Cleveland's 2024 first, but more reasonably a second. It's kind of interesting in there, that answer from Stutes. I thought he'd give up 12 to get Bryce Young.
I think, like anything else, too, it depends on the market, right? Like, what's Indy willing to give up?
True.
You know, because... You know, if the market is...
Well, we have no idea.
We don't, but I'm just saying, if the market is kind of calm and the Bears can't find the right takers, then maybe you catch a bargain. And sure, ideally, you'd like to give up a second-round pick or less. But if it gets down to, like, the difference between not getting and getting your guy and mm-hmm. knowing that he could be your guy for a long period of time, then I'm going to go, you know, give up that Cleveland pick next year because I assume Cleveland's going to be better anyway. And I need my franchise quarterback.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Whenever Gary Kubiak was hired by the Houston Texans, there was a lot of thought that he told ownership that he could win with David Carr, that he didn't want to draft a quarterback. I can get it done with David Carr. Give me David Carr. We can go out. We can win. They tried. Didn't work. Moved on from David Carr. The Texans are in a position this offseason where they have the number 2 and number 12 pick of the draft. They don't have to worry about quarterback on their roster. But maybe there's the potential of D'Amico Ryan saying, look, I don't want quarterback. Or maybe if you like Shane Steichen more, he's telling you that I do want a specific quarterback that maybe Nick Caserio doesn't want. Maybe Steichen saying, give me Anthony Richardson, and Caserio saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I want either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud.
Try to get rid of me, bro?
Right. Exactly. Like, if you're in the position of the front office, whether it's Cal, whether it's Caserio, whether it's this whole inner circle that they're doing, whatever, are you hiring the coach that's saying he wants to coach a specific player, that he wants the pick at number 2, or are you giving that pick to the coach in order to entice him?
I think if the communication is right, it could be one or the other, if not both. But I think that you're going to talk and have really – look, we know that they've already done their first-round interview. But when you start narrowing it down now that's going to be on the table as a big subject matter that's going to take a lengthy conversation. I need to know what you're thinking. And I need to know what Nick's thinking. And then I need to know in a group think what we should be thinking. And that's going to tell me a lot about philosophy and structure and also just direction. And if everybody lines up, then you know you're looking at a guy that could be the guy. If you can't align and you see there's conflict between Nick and the candidate, or you realize that's not the way you've been thinking and operating for the last 2+ years, you're going to have real issues that should basically say no matter how talented you think the guy could be or not, it's either the quarterback or the coach, and you're going to have to make that call sooner rather than later.
I'm of the opinion that I'm using that pick to entice my top target. Like, hey.
Without question, it should be a selling point.
D'Amico, you're my top target. You could have pick number 2. Now, the problem is, what if Caserio say, I need quarterback, and D'Amico's like, oh, we don't need that yet. I want the best defensive player available, whether it's Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. So now there's a little bit of conflict there, right? And I'm not saying that they're going to be, you know, they have beef, but there's conflict. Caserio saying, I need quarterback at 2. D'Amico, who's maybe the top target on their list, saying, nope. If I come there, I want Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. At that point, Caserio's like, well, I can do business with Shane Steichen. He's willing to go quarterback. Like, I want quarterback at number 2. If that conflict exists, what does Cal McNair do?
I think Cal McNair at this point, like I said, doesn't have the leeway of almost any other franchise in the league. He's got to do the right decision. And in his mind, the right decision is going quarterback.
See, I think it's to go coach. I think in his mind, in that scenario, I think Cal McNair says, give me D'Amico, and we do what D'Amico wants at number 2.
I think he wins with the coach, but then the minute the draft happens, people start questioning the franchise again, whether right or wrong, because everybody's so hell-bent on this is the year to get the quarterback. That's it. Cut and dry.
Sure.
Bottom line. So I think that as much as you might win some people over with D'Amico as your head coach, if that's a discussion – and you know that it's part of how you got him, you're going to be like hiding under your desk, whether you have a chair or not, and covering up with the bearskin rug when you know that you're going to draft defense in the first round.
I think that that conflict could potentially exist. I think that, like, I'm not saying it's going
to
happen.
But, and if you listen to the ratings and just what Lance has already done on Carter alone, he's like, dude is basically unblockable. I mean, he's pancaking everybody. He's disruptive as hell. If you're D'Amico Ryans and you see that, I might not get my Bosa, but I might get one hell of a start.
Because if you're D'Amico, you're coming from the top defense in the NFL to a bottom third defense in the NFL that needs talent, that needs a lot of help. They need some roster improvements on that side of the ball. If they don't, I mean, they will, because they have 11 draft picks, they have tons of cap space. Five, but will three. You get the elite defensive talent? Will you get a Will Anderson?
Would you trade down, Carter? Then? If you knew that was his mentality, would you trade down before the draft?
I'm of the belief that you need to leave this draft with one of the five players prefer. I don't think that scenario. Are you trading with the Colts? Okay. Let's see everybody. I don't mind trading with the Colts because I don't mind interdivisional trades, but whenever I suggest interdivisional trades, everybody loses their mind.
On them, yep.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. And then if you trade down, if you stay in the top five, I'm cool with that. Because I think you need to leave this draft. Look, and I'm usually a huge advocate for trading down. We know that, especially with the roster where it's at. You need so many different, you have a whole lot of holes that you need fixed, and you need a lot of picks in order to fix them. But if you leave this, you need to leave this draft with an elite talent. Defensively, it's Will Anderson, Jalen Carter. And then if it's a quarterback, because position scarcity, quarterback matters here, the Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis. Like, to me, you have to leave this draft with one of those five players. And if you're trading down to number seven, you're at risk of leaving this draft without one of those players. And to me, that's unacceptable.
I agree with that. But I'm saying, if you could make a deal with the Colts, or you could make a deal to where you could still get that defensive player, because everybody making deals is not only trying to get a quarterback, but has enough draft capital to entice you. And maybe it even affects next year's draft because of the fact that you're so hell-bent then, if you don't go quarterback this year, on getting one next year, and you get the kind of picks, a pick next year that can help you get where you need to go for next season to get to Caleb Williams, then I think it makes sense. But I think that if you're entertaining that, or you make that agreement before you hire your head coach, that that's part of the scenario, then I'd start exploring trading down.
See, I think that there's a part of the scenario where Nick Caserio is meeting with these coaches and already has in mind a specific thing he wants to do at the top of the draft. Let's assume for a second, because the trade down thinking becomes kind of complicated in terms of like what exactly they're targeting. Let's assume that Nick Caserio wants his franchise quarterback. He knows that his seat's getting warm. He knows that a franchise quarterback also buys you some time, because you could win four games next year, but if the franchise quarterback looks good, everybody thinks you're heading in the right direction. So getting a franchise quarterback, you show some marginal improvements, buys time for a general manager. I could see where the GM is thinking quarterback at number two, and he goes through this whole coaching carousel and this hiring process with the mindset of, I need to hire a head coach that's on board with my plan of taking quarterback at number two.
Absolutely, because he has to know.
But that's scary. Shouldn't happen.
It shouldn't happen. But again, we've seen the worst-case scenario of it happen in Chicago. When you know your ass is on the line, you think about things a whole lot differently, no matter how big of a move this is to hire your next franchise-type head coach for the next 3 to 5 years. You don't care, because all you simply care about is getting your check and being able to make sure that you save your ass. And so now you start thinking about it totally differently than if you knew you had complete and utter job security and total autonomy. You could do whatever you want, but you can't. And you've done too many things that I've already basically said they're not going to do that anyway. So now it's frightening, because you start thinking from a Nick Caserio perspective, and you're thinking, at least, even if it's not the number one way you're thinking, there's scenarios going on in your head that are thinking about CYA instead of thinking about CAL and the Texans.
Because now you're not hiring the best coach. You're hiring the coach that is on
your
board with your plan.
You're getting a guy that's on your team that you know is going to be with you, not against you, which is what Bill O'Brien did in almost all of his hirings that backfired on him when he said he couldn't get along with Rick Smith anymore.
7-1, yeah.
I mean, that's a big issue.
I think that you have to go... You have to, the two decisions need to be separate
don't
from
you think
each other.
And again, you're not going to get one of those two guys, Will Anderson or Carter. But
you can.
I'm saying, in this scenario that I'm about to propose to you, I think if D'Amico says, I don't need number two, but I got to have 12, then I think that changes everything.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's probably an easier thing if Caserio has the mindset of needing quarterback at two to make it you know, right. an easy thing.
That's where you already know, hey, the bottom line is we've got good communication between our coach and GM, which I'm not sure we had like that before.
My biggest fear, though, is if Caserio goes into all these interviews thinking, I need a certain thing at two, and the moment he hears something else from even if it's then the best gone. Target, then he's not on the list.
Yep.
Like, if it's D'Amico, and D'Amico's like, eh, I don't think it's the best interest of going quarterback at number two, and then Caserio's so blinded by quarterback at two that all of a sudden the best coaching candidate, what many people think, is off of your list. I think that's where that's unacceptable, and Caserio cannot operate that way. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jeff, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. I don't know why people keep acting like Nick Caserio is going to get to choose number 2 and 12. The new coach is going to have more power than Caserio because Caserio is a lame duck GM if we don't do well this year.
Depends on who it is.
So I think the reason Cal is here in these interviews is to give assurances to D'Amico Ryan, for instance, you get to choose what we do with 2 and 12, whether it's trade down or whatever. I think the coach is going to have a lot more say than what Caserio does this time around. I'll let y'all talk.
Appreciate it, Jeff.
I don't think he's lame duck yet, and I don't think that you should suddenly say, depending on who the coach is, that he should get total control over 2 and 12 when you don't know if the guy's even ready for CEO responsibilities yet. You hope when you hire him. But the last thing I'm going to do is then put him above your general manager who was hired to be and has proven in his last draft, at least, to be a pretty good talent evaluator to the point where I'm not yanking all of that away from him and saying, here's more on your plate. Not only are you the head coach, we're going to let you pick 2 and 12. That's not going to happen.
If we're assuming Sean Payton's off the list, which I believe
correct.
That he is.
He would be the only guy that might be in part of it.
I think Payton's off the Texans list. I think the Texans are off Payton's list. I don't think it's a marriage that's going to happen. Any of the remaining candidates are not going to have control of the total control of the 53.
No way.
I think to the caller's point, like in fairness to the caller, I think it could exist for number 2. I think it's part of the enticement. Hey, D'Amico, we understand that you have a bunch of different jobs that you want, but you're our top target. We love you so much. I might even want quarterback at number 2, but to make this right and to make our job appealing to you, number 2 is yours. You can have Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. We'll figure out the quarterback thing later. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. All right, the Rockets have lost 13 straight. We're going to play a name the tune game. How long will the streak go for the Houston Rockets? Also a trade rumor out there for Eric Gordon. Would we do it? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Our Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Somebody texting in. Branham, do you take credit for Burrow Bengals win? How could I not? I bring the best out of Joe Burrow when we locked eyes at that Marriott in Kentucky. Have you told Levis you have a man crush on him? No, it's a secret.
Have you told your wife?
Secret admirer. Have I told my wife what?
That you have a man crush on Joe Burrow.
I don't have a man crush on Joe Burrow. I have a man crush on Will Levis. Joe Burrow and I have locked eyes, and I've brought out the
best. Sounds like you have a man crush on both.
No, just Will Levis. Burrow's not my man crush. Will Levis is my man crush.
You're taking credit for the Bengals win?
Yeah.
Then why didn't you pick him in BZ Money last week?
I didn't know
You told Joel and I we were crazy.
That's
for
right. You were adamant that you were going to let us have it.
If y'all let me, I'll answer the question. I didn't realize the power of Branham love was that great. If I'm being quite honest, I did not know. But I guess the love of Branham is greater than I thought was giving it credit for. That's the reason. Brandon, too, do you think there's any chance that the Texans draft defense number 2 and they can trade up with the 12th pick and take Levis? Well, let's just say quarterback. I do think that. That's very much in play, that you take best player available at 2, you see how the draft unfolds, and maybe you couple 12 in the Cleveland 2024 first to move up and take that quarterback, whoever it is of the 3 that you like, at, let's say, 5 or 6.
He slides.
I think that could happen. Yeah, I think that is in play, Brandon T. 713-780-ESPN. Richard says Texans should not draft quarterback at 2 since they have a dumpster fire wide receiver core. You think the Texans wide receiver core is a dumpster fire?
No, I don't think it's dumpster fire, but I mean, it's less than ideal, and it starts with the fact that you've got a disgruntled veteran that would rather be anywhere else that continues to stir things up, and you've got a guy that you took in the 3rd round that you have aspirations of being a number 2 that at best is probably a number 3. And you've got a guy that didn't play last year that you drafted that you hope when he does play shows you at the bare minimum he's a number two type guy or a slot three.
I think currently it could be a dumpster fire. Quite honestly, if we're assuming that we're trading Brandon Cooks for whatever, he's gone. So you get take his talent out of the room.
But Menchie's until he's a huge gone, question mark. You got to say that he has value.
I mean, you were saying that you have to leave. You have to get rid of him.
Right.
This
from an organizational standpoint.
So if we assume that Cooks is not back, that leaves you with Mechie, and hopefully all is well for him to play football next year. It'll be the first year, and we don't know what he's going to be. Nico Collins, to me, has done nothing, quite honestly. And then what do you have after that? Like, what's Chris Moore's situation? What's Philip Dorsett's situation? And who cares? Like, those dudes aren't. Those are guys. Those are just guys. Those are camp. Those are warm bodies on a 53-man roster.
Let's talk. You know, I think you can get a really good receiver in this draft.
Could, potentially.
And if you do, then I think that whole discussion can change because then guys are better suited to fit the roles that they will be expected to play as opposed to expecting them too much. And I think it's very easy with who they have currently and the situation with Cooks to expect too much of guys like Mechie if he's able to play, guys like Collins if he's going to be anything at all for you in your future. And so, yeah, it's a very, very kind of volatile situation in the wide receiver room.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, the Rockets are in a losing streak right now.
Are they?
The Rockets have lost 13 in a row. So let's try to figure out how far this losing streak's going to go for the Houston Rockets. They're in action today. Let's do this like we did the Texans bidding game. We're willing
but without
to go
a lunch
certain,
on the line.
No lunch on the line. We're not going to put that much stakes on the Rockets. With an A, not an EK, an EAK. Mm-hmm. I'll let you go first. Age over beauty. That's usually the general rule of this show.
Well, schedule is Minnesota tonight.
They have Minnesota tonight. Does the Rockets losing streak go to 14?
Yep.
Only 5-point dogs, Rockets are.
Is Gobert playing?
I don't know yet. I haven't seen.
See, that's a big fact.
He's got a groin injury.
So he's probably not playing, and because they're playing the Rockets, they probably feel like they can rest him.
They didn't play him when they beat him Saturday.
Did you see Edwards' dunk, by the way?
Yeah, it was nasty.
Filthy.
Nasty. Edwards was unbelievable in that game.
Yeah, he's really good.
All right, so you have it 14.
Yep.
Next up on the schedule is a home game against the Washington Bullets.
Wizards.
I'm aware.
Yeah,
I like
Wizards.
To call them the Bullets.
It's offensive.
To who?
Well,
guns?
A lot of people. Yeah.
I'm sorry to anybody if I'm sorry that I've offended you. I'm not sorry for my words. Home game against the – both of these games are winnable here.
They are. If Bradley Beal's playing, they're trading Rui Hachimura today to the Lakers, and he's been productive for them when he plays. Kuzma, those guys. I think I'll say it ends against Washington at home.
If well, it's
was,
not
it
Washington,
my
it
bid.
Could go a long
it
time.
Was my
oh, I thought we're both picking each game. Why can't we both pick each game?
Okay, we can do it that way. That's fine.
You think
I like
they're
that
be,
too.
You think they're going to lose to Minnesota tonight?
I do. So I think the losing streak goes to 14. Right. So you're going to say that they beat Washington and the losing streak comes to an end of 14?
Yep.
I say that they lose to Washington and the losing streak goes to at least 15.
Okay.
Next up on their schedule, it's a back-to-back. They take on the Cleveland Cavs at home. Coming up on Thursday.
That's a loss.
Yeah, if I had a choice, and I didn't already say that they're going to win, but they'll lose that.
16-game losing streak. All right, now they head to Motown. Take on the Pistons. Another really bad team. A lot on the line when they head to Detroit, by the way, in terms of lottery
balls. No Cade Cunningham.
But the Rockets are going to be on the road.
On the road. Yep.
Detroit's not been playing great basketball either. But I think Detroit's going to get that one at home. I think Detroit will get that one at home. So losing streak, I have it
Bogey's
up to 17.
Bogey's been playing well, looking for a trade for Detroit.
There you go. So I have the losing streak up to 17. I think the Rockets, in their losing streak when the calendar turns to February, you get tickets for $5. They take on the Oklahoma City Thunder at home Wednesday, February 1st.
Don't sleep on the Thunder now. Didn't they beat Denver last night?
They're playing pretty good.
Didn't play, but yeah. I mean, Shane Gilgeous-Alexander is playing way better than anybody that looked at him out of the draft thinking he could be.
They're one game under 500.
They're playing really well.
We thought that they were going to be a bottom four team in the West and a lottery contender. I'm going to say it ends there. I'm going to say it ends on February 1st.
At home.
So you have the Rockets
home
going
against the Thunder.
0 for January.
Yeah, they don't win a game in January.
I think
not
they beat
their
Washington.
Month. New Year's resolution of tanking for lottery balls is off to a rip-roaring start for the Houston Rockets. So you have the losing streak ending at 14.
Yep.
I have the losing streak 4 more games ending at 17, beating Oklahoma City. See who wins it. What side do you like, Blankers or Branham? 713-780-3776. Latest rumor for Eric Gordon. Mark Stein says 4 second-rounders from Milwaukee for Eric Gordon. You do that?
In a heartbeat. That's enough for me. Because, look, it's kind of like all the picks that you accumulated in the Harden deal. You don't know what they're going to be, but at least you got them. And you either can trade them or you can pick them. But 4 second-round picks for a guy that, again, addition by subtraction, shouldn't be taking up minutes and shots from the young core that you have, that it's a win-win situation because he really helps Milwaukee. And I think that you just realize what you passed on a year ago was a mistake. You still can rectify it enough by getting 4 second-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that.
If I'm trying to do business here with Milwaukee, where I tell Milwaukee I'll do that when the deadline's up, and I tell Milwaukee that look, that I'll honor that trade unless I get a first rounder from somebody. If I get a first rounder from somebody, the deal's off the table. Obviously, I have to do the first rounder. If Milwaukee pushes back at me and says no, take it or leave it. This is you gotta make this decision right now. Take it or leave it. I'm taking it. I'll tell you why. 2 second rounders.
Milwaukee would say no too because it got around that he passed on Phoenix doing the same thing.
Sure.
Phoenix made an offer for Gordon last year and said, yeah, it's okay. I think we can do better. We'll get back to you. And then when he wanted to get back to them, they were like, yeah, no, we're
difference there, though, is that was a more significant pick. Like, that was a first rounder. Well, Milwaukee's like 4 second round picks, they're all going to be very, very late. Mm-hmm. The reason that I ultimately would say yes to that is because, look, their lottery tickets, Eric Gordon's his contract, is you're going to get out of it at the end of this season. So I would do the 4 second rounders and hope that I hit on one of them. Now, they're all going to be very late. They're probably all not going to matter. But Eric Gordon leaving at the end of this offseason and free agency, you're not getting any return on that as well. So you might as well have some lottery tickets, have some draft capital that maybe you can influence, you know, a sweetener in a trade, something like that.
Don't let them walk out the door for nothing. Addition by subtraction as well. And you get something, you got to get something for them, so go do it.
I mean, it's almost nothing. It's almost nothing. 4 second rounders late in the second round. But hey, it's better than Eric Gordon walking out of the door in free agency. And you don't want him to play a minutes anymore anyways because you're trying to turn it over to the young guys. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line real quick. 713-780-3776. John has a Rockets question. John, you're in the high for the Killer Bees. What's up, John?
Oh, yeah, man. So Jalen Green, he's been struggling, man. And to be honest, I was feeling that the franchise centerpiece should be Alperen Şengün.
All right. John with a hot take saying that Alperen Şengün
should be the centerpiece
over Jalen. I saw the bench. I saw a graphic from the bench this morning. Who do you build around, Jalen Green or Alperen Şengün?
Look, I'm not ready to pass on Jalen Green completely, but I am ready to say that he is not nearly what everybody thought he was going to be when he was drafted, and he's got a lot of work to do. He still has a ton of talent. But I get it from Şengün. He's been getting better while the team's been getting worse, which is hard to do. But he still has limitations as well. So I think that you're struggling to find, as easy as it was a year ago, to say, well, these two guys are going to be your franchise pieces because you were just assuming they were going to get better. They haven't. Şengün actually has, to where you have a little bit of hope. But you're trying. I think that's more desperation than actually being identifying. Şengün's a really good piece. I don't think he's a franchise player.
Jalen Green had a 40-burger 2 games ago.
He did, and he actually was efficient doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could have both of these guys. I mean, I think that neither one of their games takes away from the other. Like, you can easily have both of them on the floor at the same time. Unlike KPJ. The criticism for Jalen Green when he got drafted was that he can't shoot. Criticism right now for Jalen Green in year two is that he can't shoot. Like, that has to improve for him to be a star.
And shot selection goes a long way in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, that's it for us. Thanks to BMAC for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston.
Football!
What else is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5?